You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
My brother gave his life hunting the enemy. His task is now mine.
Speak your truth. You already know.
Stand with me. Ours was no chance meeting.
Search your mind.
Not fate.
It's written in gold.
Nor destiny. Ours was the work of something greater.
Don't say no. Let it unfold out. Come on, take the embrace. Don't steal it from
you. Each of us.
All I know.
Every one. Must decide who we shall be.
I am not the hero you seek.
Whatever it was you did, be free of it.
One day this will be your kingdom.
Raise your sail and then let go.
Choose not the path of fear, but that of faith.
One thing we can do, better than any creature in all Middle-earth. We stay true to each other, with our hearts even bigger than our feet.
We can survive this.
Wait!
No! We keep moving!
Why do you keep fighting?
There is a tempest in me.
You have fought long enough, Galadriel. Put up your sword.
Welcome to...
Did you literally just look that up? Because I did that too.
Did you?
Yes, Alatulia.
Belloc.
Yes. We all remember that one, don't we?
Yeah.
We're all up to speed with that bit of fucking Elvish.
We all remember all of this wonderful things. Hello and welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome. My name is Dion and I'm joined tonight by Quinny and the industry. I mean, Peter.
Yay!
And
I love that Peter's like, fuck, I hate this nickname.
I really do. Can we find another one?
Nope.
Nicknames are rarely given, and they seem to stick around, but it doesn't actually matter. Well, I mean, soon we might be able to change it to Emmy winning Peter.
Emmy winning industry.
Let's not tempt fate.
No tempting of fates. Speaking of fates, what are we reviewing today? Tonight?
We are reviewing.
That's right.
Sorry, we're not revealing anything.
It's the incest show.
No.
Wait, which one is it? Because they're both incest shows. You've got to understand this.
But one's more, you know, overtly incesty.
One's more an explanation of how incest works. This one is just much like the Bible. It's begatting upon begatting upon begatting, and that's how the elves were made. Anyway...
We're talking about Lord of the Rings.
No, we're
talking about... Rings of Power.
We're talking about Jeff Bezos's Amazon Prime's Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power, which is what we call adjacent to the Peter Jackson Lord of the Rings, and we don't speak of the other ones.
So you're not talking about the Ralph Bakshi animated films from the 70s? Because they're fucking cool.
I'm not talking... We don't talk about the other ones starting with H.
Oh, the horrible show.
Yeah, you don't. We're not talking about the Hobbit here. Hello.
Yeah. Hi. How are you?
I'm good. I realize I haven't actually said hello to the chat. Hello, chat. Which are there. They're always here, which is hilarious because it's absolutely opposite to where it looks like on screen.
But anyway. Oh, right. So you have to look in a different direction, do you?
Yeah.
Why don't you just switch it one day?
That'd be crazy.
Like, production in my house is hard enough. So I've just got to remember that it's, like, opposite to where.
Oh, okay, right. I don't even know which way I look because I don't look at the actual.
Well, you must look towards the light of the Valar.
Okay. Shall I look towards the west?
Yes.
Right. Well, my apologies. I must apologize. I am Kwamea. I am a little Laiwa. That's right. I've got the dictionary in front of me.
For fuck's sake.
Yeah.
I can't blame you. I cannot blame you.
Because I am slightly unwell. So if I cough and die a little bit, my apologies. But I still wanted to be here to talk about this one because, I like me a bit of an elf and an occasional dwarf. I'm down for a bit of goblin action.
Okay, so I thought we were talking about Lord of the Rings, not your proclivities. So
not my searches on RedTube.
Yes, no, that's not what we're going here. We're all above board and happy about this show.
But are we though? Because I don't know. I feel like Peter has the face of somebody who may be like, nah.
I think Peter's...
I tried very hard to have an opinion about this show.
Wow.
And I might. I'm still working it up.
Right. Okay. Well, that's good to know. There's a bit of feedback from chat saying that you're a bit quiet, Dion.
That's probably because I'm a quiet individual. I hope I can fix that somehow.
Yes, I don't know how we're going to do that. Okay, Pete, let's do the usual thing. I want to go back in time and find out what was your first experience of Lotter.
My mum read us The Hobbit when we were very little.
The film that shall not be named.
Well, it was a book that can be named before it was the film that shall not be named. Yeah. And it was probably the first experience with fantasy that I remember having.
Okay.
And mum does an excellent job of reading. Like she does the voices and she makes it a world. So I had a really strong connection to the story of The Hobbit well before anything to do with Lord of the Rings came out. I did attempt to read Lord of the Rings in high school and I got 1.5 books into it.
Oh, shit.
And
there you was did better
a
than
really
most.
Long meeting. There was a really long meeting that just kept going for chapters and chapters, and I did not make it through that. Unfortunately.
I'm actually impressed at the teenage level that you got through the first fucking party, because the party, the 111th birthday party, where they introduce every single fucking Proudfoot, half Hardfoot, Underhill, Underwell, Under whatever, and then the party goes on and there's dwarves, just fucking tedious as shit.
Well, because I already had a connection to the material via The Hobbit, I was, excited for learning more about the world, I think, at that stage. But, when it's just a long meeting, like, that's where I draw the line in my high-concept fantasy.
Well, yes, especially...
if I want to go to a long meeting, I can do it at work.
I think one of the greatest tricks that the Lord of the Rings film pulled was turning the Council of Elrond into something that didn't stop the film completely fucking dead. It comes close, but they actually managed to make that thing, what can we do? Oh, well, let's just shorten it down to, you have my axe and my sword. Cool, done. Okay, yeah. Moving on.
Look, it was intercut. I remember, it was intercut in the book with a scene with, I think, maybe Pippin or Merry and the Ents, and that was interesting. But I kept having to skip over large chunks of book to get more of that scene because the rest of it was just, I'm eating.
And I like that Dion and I are both doing the,
Are you talking about the Ent moot? That one went for a long time in both the book and the film. That one was in the Two Towers.
Because
I remember a hobbit and a talking tree and the rest of the details are fuzzy.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
That was I enjoyed the movies. The movies were good.
I'm loving this in the chat at the moment only because I can see basically the chat is in defense of the Silmarillion. what I'm really loving about this is that people understand and have seen The Lord of the Rings, and then people who read The Lord of the Rings and then got too much into it and went to watch the Silmarillion, which is what this is adjacent to in terms of Tolkien lore. But there's just like two classes of people. People are like, it was in the Silmarillion. And then there's people who are like, what the fuck is the Silmarillion?
Is that that boring book that I couldn't be bothered reading?
The Silmarillion.
It sounded an awful lot like the Bible.
Basically the appendices. Like, and if you're real interested in figuring out what the appendices were, it's just kind of, it's real dense and not a book. It's not a book.
It's you know what it is? It's old man fantasy.
It's not even. It's kind of what the old man uses to create his fantasy by making sure that it all references itself because you're an academic and all you've ever done is work in academia. And the and the First World War real fucked you up. Like, super fucked you up. Like, PTSD, dude. But that is to say, if The Hobbit was a children's book and The Lord of the Rings was a serious fantasy, The Silmarillion is just stale bread at a buffet. You know, it's kind of like, we can't really do much with this. You know, you could if you break it up and turn it into something else, but it's not exactly good reading.
So my experience is very similar to yours, Pete. I read The Hobbit in primary school, probably grade 5, grade 6, something like that. Loved it, thought it was great. Played the text adventure on the Commodore 64. And then my experience of it just differs slightly because I tried to read Lord of the Rings when I was a teenager and failed. Got as far as the 111th birthday and went, nah, done. Until I was 21 or thereabouts, and I found out they were casting for Lord of the Rings. And as a young actor who was desperate to do something like that, I thought, I'm gonna throw my hat into the ring and apply to the casting director, and so I'd better have read the fucking books. So at that stage I went and read all the books and persevered through them because I was like, okay, I just have to do this, because what if they ask me which character I want to be? Turns out they didn't. And on, I think my 21st birthday, I received a letter from 3 Foot 6 Limited, saying, thank you for your interest in the Hobbit, the Lord of the Rings films, but we've cast it all. So tell your story, walking pal. But it was a typed letter in an envelope. And I kept that for a very long time because I was like, I tried.
I think you would have made an astounding elf, Quinny.
In much the same way as my acting career started in Oliver, where I was playing a workhouse child and everyone went, did he eat the other workhouse children? I think they would have looked at him and go, so is this the elf that has spent too long in Middle Earth and, you know, is probably hung out with the hobbits a little too much and is, you know, a little too fond of hobbit food?
I mean, look, given the opportunity, like, Lord of the Rings is much like Harry Potter and Star Wars or Marvel movies. If someone has an opportunity for you to be in one, you'll just say, sure.
Yep.
Like, why not? It's part of a gigantic universe, and you never know if someone might look at you and be like, that character needs a spin-off show. Suddenly.
And I would have been that character. I would have very happily been a dwarf or a hobbit or a whatever. But 'twas not to be.
Yes, 'twas not to be.
Thank you, Doc Forrest, for thinking me as Tom Bombadil.
I believe it. Yeah, yep. I'm down for it.
And you know what? In a certain universe, I can say, yes, I did play Tom Bombadil, but they cut my scenes.
Yeah, absolutely. You can say that. It's like, I was Tom Bombadil in The Lord of the Rings. Oh, really? Yeah, prove it. My scenes were cut. Go on.
I was also in Batgirl. Prove it.
Yeah, isn't that what they say? Everyone should be adding Batgirl to their CV at the moment because they'll never be able to prove you weren't.
Yeah. So where are we at with Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power?
There have been 3 episodes, sorry. My apologies. Yeah. I think there's only been 3 so far.
Forza?
See, I got a little bit, it was 4, because I kind of meshed the first 2 together because the first 2 came out at the same time, right?
Yes. And we watched them together and you got drunk.
Yeah. And it was, and you loved every second of me giving running commentary
The amount of shade thrown through your quasi-drunken stupor at the first two episodes of this series, which I watched with you and another good friend, and then went home and rewatched it the next day so that I could actually have a clue as to what the fuck happened.
And yet, my recollection is flawless. it's an interesting sort of a hot take on the whole thing, because you have a very defined, like, and this is the thing, sorry, Peter, to ask the question, did you watch all the Lord of the Rings movies?
All the Lord of the Rings movies?
Yes.
Yes.
Did you watch extended the versions? Extended versions?
No. I'm like,
oh,
no.
Fuck.
No.
Oh, we're going to have such a hard time, Peter. Okay, right, moving on. Did you watch the Ralph Bakshi Lord of the Rings animated film?
No.
Okay. Did you watch The Hobbit?
Yes.
Did you watch all of The Hobbits?
No.
Did you get through all three of them, or?
I got like 75% through the first movie going, there's a lot more of this story still to go. I don't understand why they're only at this point in the books. And then the movie ended, I was like, there's more movies? And then, like, there was just a lot of stuff that didn't happen in the book, and yeah. I think I might have lost interest. I can't remember if I watched the third one, to be honest.
No, you don't need to. Like, honestly, just no. Just yeah. I mean, unless you have questions from this series about elf physics.
I mean, the Hobbit would have made such a sweet standalone film.
And you know what? There is a version of it that exists, which an enterprising person edited together from the three films into one three-hour film.
I watched that.
And it's
just the bits from the book?
Well, yeah, and it's recolor corrected, so it's not as weirdly bright and overdrawn and everything. And it's actually a much better film. I had the same thing. Like, I was like, this seems like it's really dragging on.
It's so strange about how they just went the complete opposite for both of these series of films. Like, for the Lord of the Rings films, they kept trying to say, make it into one or two. All right. And then in The Hobbit, they're like, it's one film. Like, three. You're getting three. It's like, no, I can't do anything with this. And yeah, they just went the other way around, and everyone just kind of went, well, all of this was just the worst. But yeah, look, the original Lord of the Rings one that Fellowship of the Ring that came out was one of the only films I remember that I walked out of and then turned around and went back and saw again.
Oh, wow.
Like, I mean, it was that kind of a thing where, like, I haven't done that to many films, but that was one that I didn't expect, didn't know what was going in. I walked into it, sat down and watched it on a Boxing Day and went, holy shit, and then just went and joined the queue again. And the people I was with were like, where are you going? I'm like, again. And then they left. Anyway, fuck them. When they announced the Lord of the Rings of Power, like Amazon announced that they're making Lord of the Rings TV series, was anyone excited? I mean, kind of. I thought they were doing a straight remake.
The teaser was really cool.
Mm. Yeah, all the teasers.
Is that the one with the pouring metal and?
Yeah,
I was under the impression when they first announced that they were going to make like a straight remake of the Lord of the Rings, as in the movies, and just recast everyone. And then when they came out, they're like, "Oh, actually, we're going to go a little bit beforehand and do a bit of a prequel." I was like, "Oh, interesting. See what they do there." And now they're coming out, and we just get what I refer to as the Hot Elf Show.
Yeah.
Yep. That's all it seems to be at the moment, is the Hot Elf Show.
I feel like it's more than that. You know, yes, there are hot elves in it, but surely it's more than just the Hot Elf Show.
Speaking of that, I've forgotten completely about something. Quinny, do you have a synopsis?
I do.
Us for this? Would you like some sort of musical background interlude?
Have you got any Howard Shore?
No, fuck that. Oh. I'm straight Amazon all the way on this one. This is the Amazon music.
It's by Howard Shore. Beginning in a time of relative peace, the series follows an ensemble cast of characters, both familiar and new, as they confront the long-feared reemergence of evil to Middle-earth. From the darkest depths of the Misty Mountains, to the majestic forests of the elf capital of Lindon, to the breathtaking island kingdom of Numenor. To the furthest reaches of the map, these kingdoms and characters will carve out legacies that live long after they have gone.
Is that it?
Yeah. I mean,
that's not really much of a synopsis.
No, I mean, that's apparently the official one. I mean, there's a much longer one that Amazon. Okay. Do you want the longer one? Or are we out of music?
No, we're out of music. I can't replay it again.
Okay.
I mean, like, I could probably play some Predators to sounds or maybe a Netflix thing or two, but that's not really going to match, is it?
I mean, the other official Amazon one gets a bit flowery.
I mean, I could play something off my phone, but like,
yeah,
maybe some Enya.
You know, unlikely heroes were tested, hope and hung by the finest of threads, and the greatest villain that ever flowed from Tolkien's pen threatened to cover all the world in darkness. There you go. There's a lot more flowery language and stuff like that in there.
Excellent.
Yes. I felt like I could perhaps have a go at doing it in some stupid elf accent. Essentially, there is no stupid elf accent. It's all just a bit Welsh.
Do it like John Rhys-Davies. No, don't. Just stop.
What, as a dwarf?
It's just a joke, Quinny. You don't have to take those as challenges.
No, I will take everything as a challenge.
Look, I mean, pros. What has the show got going for it? It's been greenlit technically for 5 seasons. Is that true?
Or it's got a plan? I believe so, which blows my mind.
But then again, I don't know who's like my thing that comes out of this is you've got Amazon, the biggest shopping mall in the world online, starting a show running for 5 seasons that I wonder if they're going to get a percentage of any sale of any item related to this.
No.
Which is kind of interesting and a bit jaded on my end. But also, yeah. I want to return to this and go, it's trying to do a thing and I'm kind of enjoying it. But then it's still frustrating the fuck out of me in some ways. But not because I'm a purist. Wait, the chat. Not because I'm a purist. You guys are probably sitting there going, oh, you'll get something wrong. And I'm like, God, if there's nothing. It's like the two mortal enemies, Lord of the Rings fans and Star Wars fans. Or like Star Wars fans and Star Trek fans or Lord of the Rings fans. And look, anyone, fandom in general is having a fight.
I love the idea that it could possibly have been greenlit for 5 years because I love the idea that somebody may be given the opportunity to tell a story that they know how long they've got to tell it in.
Yeah.
What an exciting concept that is as somebody who enjoys long form drama and narrative that, you know, you may actually go, I'm going to start telling a thing and know that I'm guaranteed to be able to lay the seeds early that will then pay off later. And people go, oh, that's fucking amazing because I had the confidence that there was going to be a later. You know, I look at things like Sandman, which, you know, they're still waiting to say whether or not it's been confirmed for a second season. You're like, what? It was the biggest fucking streaming show in the world for a very long time. But okay, you do you, Netflix.
You're not alone there. I can't do any of the bite the hand that feeds you stuff. I'm curious to see what they're going to do with the rest of this because it's kind of unfamiliar territory for anyone who's coming to it as a fan of fantasy. And remember that we've just come from this thing where high fantasy has been accepted as a modern, in a modern situation. And now we've just come off the back of 9 years of horny fucking fantasy. And now we're being presented with a show that's more kind of going back towards that other way. I'm just seeing how much the consumer's appetite or the audience's appetite is going to be for this show that is very dense and does not directly reference any characters that you have seen before. It's just putting nods into things. And the nods, I think, you know, the fans of the stuff are getting a lot out of it. Like I'm getting a fair bit out of it because I'm watching stuff and I'm like, oh, fuck Numenor. We get to go to Numenor. That's kind of fun. Or like a little bit more of an explanation of certain kind of elves and characters or what kind of went on or, you know, how did they all get there? Because we're so far removed from The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit in this show that it's kind of interesting, but I'm also going, but who is the audience able to grasp onto? Because young Galadriel is not exactly the same as Cate Blanchett. And young Elrond
I really don't have a problem with young Galadriel. Where are you at with it, Peter?
I don't have an issue with young Galadriel. I guess in my mind I'm not trying to directly link it to the Peter Jackson films. Like I feel like it can exist as its own entity. And also, aren't we talking about like thousands of years of elf aging? Like, you know.
Well, they don't. They're not technically supposed to. They're immortal. They don't die. Unless killed.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of it like it's a separate thing. I wasn't expecting to see Cate Blanchett or Hugo Weaving in this show. So I was like, I'm cool with that. Doesn't bother me. I'm not that attached to the material also. So I'm kind of like, I don't care if it's not exactly like Lord of the Rings. I don't need it to meet up in my brain.
No, though I do feel like it is still trying because it has a visual style that is very obviously going, we want to be like Peter Jackson's take on Lord of the Rings. You know, there are very, like there are so many different ways you could interpret high fantasy and, you know, high fantasy in this age and everything like that. And the style, the look, the feel and everything has been set by the Peter Jackson films. And the different racial styles, the different, settings, locations, everything I feel like has been set by those films. So this is still grounding itself in that, you know, that we're going, it's not like we've suddenly gone for a totally different design ethic for the different races, for example. But yeah, I have no problem with the fact that Galadriel doesn't look 100% like Cate Blanchett and Hugo Weaving. Yeah, and looks decidedly nothing like Hugo Weaving. He's a weird looking dude.
I'm not asking for fucking CGI realness on that sort of thing. It's just a little bit like, oh, that's that character. Okay, I get you. I see what's going on there. At least they act pretty much the same, apart from Elrond. I still have a problem with Elrond, but I mean,
I feel like Elrond starts. I'm only three episodes in, but I feel like he's started down a questionable path. I feel like Elrond could very much be a ends justify the means kind of elf.
I mean, did you see the Lord of the Rings? He kind of like that. He's just like, oh, that's a really terrible thing. You should take that and you go do it.
Yeah.
I'm fucking off. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to fuck off the other way and you're going to go do that. See ya.
I do love that Tari has called out the thing that to me immediately made everybody just go, huh? Is the hair.
Look, you know, we can pick apart this in a little while. Like, okay. Honestly.
Okay, like, fine.
The hair isn't there, that then. Bad, really. I'm just trying to think because we're going to get sidetracked and end up like banging on for hours and hours about problems with it. What did you like about it?
Oh, a lot. I was just leaving space for somebody else to say something.
You're asking Peter, aren't you? Peter, did you like anything about it?
Sure. I think my issue is, like, I really like fantasy. Like, I really enjoy fantasy. And I enjoy, you know, this kind of, like, dense, high-concept fantasy with really, really rich worlds. But it takes energy to connect with the material. And I just feel like I used all of my energy on stressing out about fictional space programs recently. and because Lord of the Rings is such a big world that while I have a little bit of a connection to the material, I don't have a deep care for the material. I have not been very excited about this. So I wasn't, you know, I watched three episodes on a plane yesterday and that is how I am now talking about it. I haven't been super excited to run off and watch it as yet. It's just like one of those, like, I'm not in the mood for, like, this at the moment. So it's really hard for me to say really, really honestly, like, whether I like it or I don't like it, because I'm like, I think I would like it if I was in the mood. But right now I'm quite tired and I keep dozing off. I don't think it's because it's boring. I think it's because I'm very tired.
That's probably got a bit to do with it.
I don't know. Some of it's very boring.
Well, I know. I have had other people who are big fantasy watchers and stuff like that who have sort of said, look, it's very pretty. It's very impressive and everything like that. But I am like, I may have fallen asleep in an episode. And I was like, okay, fair enough. It's not necessarily that it's not that it's necessarily boring, but it is at a different pace and it's a different style of storytelling. And
Which can be a really, really, really nice thing if you have the bandwidth to just really sit and enjoy that kind of storytelling for sure, which is why I'm really hesitant to say, like it. It's like, I really like I don't actively dislike it. It's and I could point to like lots of things that I have enjoyed about it. You know, the look of it is really nice. Like, I do find myself kind of, I think I will watch the fourth episode because, like, I want to know what happens to Arondir, and they may have kind of got me with the Galadriel Halbrand ship. You know, I'm a sucker for a ship. So, like, there are a couple of things in there that will might probably draw me to keep watching at this stage.
Okay. Yeah. As Karina has said in the chat, and I think I was going to say, I feel like there is an unfortunate thing where this has been airing almost entirely at the same time as House of the Dragon. So you've got two very big budget hour-long fantasy shows each week that everybody is able to compare it with. So each and every week you've got your old man fantasy, if you will, and incest fantasy over here, you know, and... I mean, drugs are working so well for me.
All right, yeah.
But I think having that constant comparison is a dangerous thing because each week you're able to go, oh, but, you know, that one had the really good battle sequence. Oh, but it's really not doing character stuff, whereas this one is doing a lot more character stuff. But, you know, it's sort of few and far between for really big, you know, exciting battle stuff or whatever.
It's kind of...
I mean, I feel like it's coming.
Oh, yeah.
Ish, kind of. It's also like there's an overall sort of problem with this, which is, yeah, there could be giant battles, but none of them that you can really hang your hat on yet, or we don't know how they're going to get there. And one of the things, like, I mean, House of the Dragon is just fucking house. It's just Game of Thrones again, like round two. I don't give a shit. And they're just trying to,
can I also take a punt that we're probably not going to review House of the Dragon?
I don't know. Like, we never say never, Quinny.
I mean, I'm not going to review House of the Dragon. Like, yeah. I just don't really have any interest in that franchise anymore.
Yeah.
It's dunsies.
This one is an interesting one, as the opposite of it is just sort of going, this is following four very distinct separate stories in The Rings of Power, which is like, you know, a bold move, but harder to get people to be on board with because you've got to invest a lot of time and energy into following it all and learning new characters and finding something that you want to go with. Because at the moment, it's just a bunch of weird. I feel like they're building towards a really important moment, hopefully in the first season, which will set up the rest of the seasons, which is the... you know, basically the destruction of Numenor and the fleeing to Middle-earth and the foundation of the two kingdoms of Eregion and Gondor, and then the shit gets weird. Like, that's kind of... This is all very... A whole bunch of setup of, like, all the cool, weird shit happens in Middle-earth, and at the moment we're doing a bit over here and a bit over here and a bit over here and then a focus on this sort of stuff, whereas all the funky stuff doesn't really start happening for a little while. And it's kind of like, unless they do time skips, it's going to be very boring because it's just a lot of build up for like, well, when does this happen? Or when does this happen? Or when do we get to see one of these cool things? Which for a TV show is hard to maintain a level of excitement, unlike the movies where you're like, oh, this, you know, what do you remember about the Fellowship of the Ring? Fellowship of the Ring is amazing because right at the end you see a Balrog and Gandalf dies. Sorry for the spoilers. Yeah. The Two Towers, the thing you hang your hat on is the Battle of Helm's Deep.
Yeah.
And then the
Return of the King
is just everyone's waiting for the 73 endings. Everyone, like, that's all we wanted to see forever, was just the 73 endings because it never finished. So this is just kind of like, what are they building up to? Is it the destruction of Numenor, which is pretty much Atlantis? Just put it that way. Like, Numenor is Atlantis. It does the same shit.
Is it, you know, building up to the rise and of Sauron and the creation of Mordor as a place? We're getting through episode 4, we're starting to see more and more of the building of, you know, powers, and that things in the Southland are not good.
Well, this is the thing that freaks me out, because okay, and here's one of the little brain breaks for me. Okay, Mordor is a place already. It's a place in the First Age. It's fucking Morgoth, the enemy that's currently dead in this show, was there. It was a real place. It's basically Mordor from, you know, the other one. It's there. And in this one, it's just kind of like, no, maybe they're creating a place. It's like, what? But sure, I can let all that go. It is already a place.
I went down an interesting path today. I started having a look at some of the, the theorization stuff around on the internet, like, new rock stars, for example, who I really enjoy their stuff, is, you know, Easter eggs of the last two episodes of, you know, Rings of Power and stuff like that. And they go through and, you know, fairly quickly try and pull apart all of the things and go, that's a reference to this, this is a reference to this and stuff like that. But also, you know, occasionally it's nice to be reminded that there are things in here that we don't know, and what seems really obvious about, you know, a certain thing may not be that at all. Like, and at the moment there's this question mark as to, you know, where Sauron is or Mephisto. Who Sauron is. Exactly. We've got our Mephisto, and it's not a goat called Jake. It's Mephisto, but not where you think.
Yeah. I'm laughing at all of this sort of shit too. Like, I'm waiting for this stuff to happen. Although I've got my own theories about who Sauron is and why he is. I love that everyone's always like, kind of like, oh, Sauron's like an enemy person. Like, Sauron is a motherfucking shapeshifter. Sauron can be whoever Sauron wants to fucking be.
And, you know, is Sauron Halbrand? I don't know. Is Sauron, the old wizard guy who smashed into the ground as a fiery, flaming dude who looks an awful lot like Gandalf, but what if he's not Gandalf? What if he's Saruman? Well, you know, all of these things that I, like, when you don't just assume that everything is exactly what it looks like, the show becomes infinitely more interesting.
Yeah, and I like that. Like, you know, is Adar is Adar Sauron? You know, it's kind of like, I love all of these things of just like, who is Sauron? What's going on? But it just kind of feels to me much like the thing I love about Marvel these days is, who is Mephisto? I hope they keep that going, because the mystery is more interesting than the actual eventuality. Because we know that Sauron is defeated and eventually becomes a giant eye.
Yes.
Speculation time. But should we give it a quick rating based on the first three episodes / four episodes alone? Go to a quick clip and then come back and talk more about breaking some more shit down or nerding out.
Absolutely.
I want to espouse theories and then have them absolutely torn to shreds, and my own ability to be considered a Lord of the Rings nerd just decimated by the very wonderful, erudite and intelligent chat.
I'm just super excited to find out that you are a Lord of the Rings nerd, because I thought you were exclusively a Star Wars nerd. And then we were talking about this at work the other day, and you busted out some fucking, you know, some hardcore Silmarillion shit. And I was like, what?
No, don't know what you're talking about. Lord of the Rings is for nerds.
Got different nerd in you.
Lord of the Rings is for book nerds. I don't like book nerds. I can't wait to talk about the fascist elves in the spoiler section. Elves are fascist. To the fascist. You can't convince me otherwise. Anyway.
I mean, they've certainly got some, you know, little flexibility when it comes to how they deal with the people that they've, you know, helped in the past or whatever. It's like, so yeah. We helped you, the people of Numenor, and if you don't agree with us, we're going to fuck you up. In fact, we've got God on our side who will fuck you up for us.
Like, yeah, kind of. But also weirdly that they are elves or were from, like, Elrond's brother was the guy who founded Numenor, who made the choice to become mortal. It's, and then like, it, look, it's so weird. It's just kind of like, so are they elves? They're not really though. They're not called elves. They can't do that.
They're half elves.
What does an elf mean? You know, why do people get really angry when an elf dies? Because lots of elves die, and that's like a lot of like immortal beings who aren't there. Yeah,
it's very difficult. Anyway, So are we going to rate it? Can we rate it? Are you've got the eyes half closed, Peter?
Well, no, I'm just sorry. I was just thinking about immortal beings, but also the fact that they're children who obviously grow up and age
to a certain point.
I'm sure that there are explanations for that that people will tell me.
Just remember there's not a lot of bloodline mixing in that because it all kind of comes from the one section. So when you think about an elf, like how do they make so many elves?
Oh, is this like why we're all being super racist about it? Because like it's basically about blue bloods?
Yeah.
Oh, no, the weird fandom shit about you can't have black people in the Lord of the Rings. Oh, for fuck.
Oh, why? Sorry, I did spend like a fair amount of time while watching this, like just going, how would people have a problem with this? I don't understand. But, you know, people are assholes, I guess.
Because there are people out there. It's funny, I saw a post the other day that was about people being angry about Ariel being played by a black person. And then it was like one of those things of like to say that you're upset or smile to say that you like it. And I was able to look at the you know, the list of likes and go, oh, there's a whole bunch of people I can unfriend.
Yeah.
It made it so easy.
What a great tool.
Yeah.
Very helpful.
Yes, it's really handy for working out how big a pack of assholes you've got in your timeline. Who, if you don't like black elves, fuck off. Okay. Karina has started, but you
yes. Thanks, Karina. Karina's given it 65. That actually kind of gives me a good. I'm gonna like do like a little bit of offensive, only because like I honestly can't point out stuff that I don't like about it. So I'm not mad at it. I don't think that it's not good. But it's just hard for me to get into at the moment. So I'm going to give it a 70, because I see that it has a lot of potential and I hope that I have the brain space to enjoy it more a little bit later.
Okay. I like that. That is completely fair. Just Angela has given it a 78, which is, I'll be honest, is lower than I was expecting from her.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, she doesn't have any class. No, I'm just joking. I'm giving it 80 out of 100 because even though I could mercilessly tear into it or I'm confused by it, it's actually a little bit different from the other stuff and it's kind of interesting and I'm waiting for the hook to get into me, but I'm absolutely loving the amount of money they've thrown at it. It looks fucking amazing. It's taking some very difficult fucking framework of not really a story and making stories around them. So I actually kind of give the creator, like the producers of this have actually done really well by satisfying, or at the moment, hopefully satisfying both. They're giving nods to so many nerdy things that it's like, oh, holy shit, like, that's this and that's this, or this could be this, or that's, you know, the thing, while also maintaining the rigor of what are people expecting, but creating something slightly newer. Like everything has its very defined space and it's very difficult to do. So I can't be angry at it. I will, however, absolutely deduct points for stupid elf physics because that's dumb. Stop with the elf physics. I'm over the elf physics. Just stop that.
I see the point that the Hobbit, like, you know, essentially lost me was where they brought Legolas back in and I was like, Hey, Legolas, he's back. And then he did dumb superhero fucking floaty shit. And I was like,
oh, I've blocked that bit out of my brain.
When you get to the third film where he literally runs up fucking bricks as they're falling out of the air, and you're like, no.
But this was previously established in the Fellowship of the Ring, when it's definitely shown that Legolas doesn't leave an imprint on the snow and he doesn't actually fall through because his bones are light as a feather.
Yeah, but fuck that.
Yeah, yeah, fuck that noise.
That bullshit. Kind of stuff. And you know, we can sort of, all of the other stuff you go, kind of go, okay, cool, yeah, elves are magical, elves are whatever. But at the same time, if you completely break the physics of your world, you break any sense of peril or danger or reality.
When you're breaking the physics in the world for a particular, just one character and not for the rest of them, like, oh.
Exactly.
You know, anyway.
Yeah, like you've got armies of elves that you see going into battle, like, and they're, you know, they fight like anyone else, and they fucking, you know, they look like they weigh the same as anyone else. But then Legolas comes in floating around on his sword and shield, and it's just all a bit fucking silly. And yeah, of all of the things to take out of those Peter Jackson films, the one I wouldn't have taken was the stupid fucking elf physics. But anyway, my rating is actually around about where yours is, D. I think it's an 81. Just because I wanted to, I don't know, like it more than you did. By one point, I don't fucking know.
Fair enough. You're on a lot of drugs. It's fair.
I am on so many drugs, and I really can see through time right now.
prescription medication, mind you, not other things.
Yeah.
He's not having too much Lembas bread, if you know what I mean.
No, I've been chugging the light of Elendil like there is no tomorrow.
You've been on a bit of the old milkweed.
Oh, yes. My love of the halfling's weed has done wonders for my mind.
Your senses.
I think it's a very pretty show, and I actually do look forward to each week going, okay, where are we going with it? But at the moment, I'm not entirely sure they've been 100% successful in maintaining all of the storylines, because they've set up a lot, and occasionally I feel like they've gone, oh, we're following this one and we'll leave that other one away for a while. And you know, the Harfoots with Star Wizard, you know, they don't get a look in episode 4 at all, and you're like, oh,
I want to go to their fucking forest festival.
So but, many mushrooms.
But it's going to smell real bad.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Like, as long as I can get through the smell of everyone, I want to go to that kind of like grass-thatched happy festival of running a caravan through shit.
Yeah. And like they're an interesting storyline that, you know, sort of got left behind at one point. And then we get, you know, the Elves in Chains storyline for an episode. And then you like, I don't know. Occasionally I feel like they're trying to cover a lot of ground, and whether they're doing it all successfully, I'm not entirely sure, but I kind of want to keep watching it. And I love the fucking design of it. The visuals, the style, the elements of storytelling, like, you know, you spend some time in Khazad Dûm and you're like, oh fuck. I love the way that they've thought about dwarvish, architecture and dwarvish life, and you know how they sing to the rocks, and that's how they, you know, exist within caverns and things like that, and all that kind of stuff. I dig.
So would you like us to, what clip do you want? Do you want to have singing to the rocks?
One of them is about smashing rocks, and the other one's about singing to them.
Which one would you like before we come back and have a bit of...
I think we'll do some singing, because, you know, if there's one thing that you know about reading any of the Lord of the Rings books, there's a lot of songs in there.
Sure. All right, let's get into the singing.
Oh,
we go. Wonderful, wonderful dwarven singing. Finally got to see some of the dwarven women with...
You were angry about the dwarven women, weren't you?
No, I could get around it. It's fine. I was...
They had to have beards, didn't they?
Maybe that was just Aragorn was a dick. and he was just reinforcing stereotypes. Let's get into why Lord of the Rings is already racist and we don't need to add to racist parts. First, the Dunedain are committing harmful stereotypes. Elves are fascists.
Sorry, hang on, back it up. Remind me who the Dunedain are.
The Dunedain, they're the descendants of Numenoreans who bred with men and are part of the Rangers of the North. It is the pure blood of the men of Numenor that runs in Aragorn's veins that allows him to lay claim to the throne of Gondor.
Okay, right, yep, gotcha.
Cool.
Yeah, good.
No doubt. Also, the Numenoreans were seafarers who end up getting very landlocked in the country. So that's kind of like, that's kind of weird, but whatever. It's an interesting and terrible situation when you are the elves and you are holding, like, immortal beings, keeping watch over a big area of land. Basically just, you know what it is? It's a giant open-air prison. Imagine immortal guards, and you just had generations of your family being watched over by the elves.
So this is, you're talking about the Southland here.
Do not trust you. Yeah, absolutely. All because your great, 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 great grandfather went, actually, that guy has some good things to say, and I think I'm going to get a better life out of it. And they've been living like peasants ever since.
Yeah, and interesting, like in that last episode where it's kind of like, okay, yes, there are also some people who were part of in the Southland who do actually still believe in Morgoth, and you're like, oh, okay, so your distrust of the humans has actually been somewhat paid off.
Yeah. I mean, look, you know, a lot of elves died. It was very sad, but also a lot of men died. Being specifically killed by elves.
Right.
We all got to remember that there's no good people on these sides, except here's the thing. This is the thing I always like about the elves is, like, a lot of elves died from the descendants, like, from the people that are there, the men that are there, the descendants of those men or the lineage of that man were the people who killed the elves, right? But the elves that killed the original men are probably still the same elves. You've got to remember that.
Yeah, like, yeah.
They're immortal.
So whilst this is the descendants of people that did something terrible, it's actually still the same ones.
Imagine going up to someone and just be like, oh, hello, elf. It's lovely to meet you. And it's like, what was your name? And it's like, oh, I am, you know, Breathwayne of Clavett Bane. It's like, Breathwayne of Clavett Bane. I killed your grandfather. I stabbed him. It's kind of like, yeah, I did that. Anyway, moving on.
That was a long time ago. I'm a different person. I'm actually the same person now, but you know, because I don't change much.
Yeah, you and this pig, same thing, you know, to an elf.
Actually, that was one sequence that I really loved and I thought was lovely is the bit where what's his name, went to visit the dwarf and Elrond Hubbard goes to visit the dwarf and there's that whole thing of, I haven't seen you in 20 years. And to an elf, it's nothing. I love that. But the dwarf's like, fuck you. Where were you for most of my life? You walk away from me for a solid chunk of my life and you're like, oh, sorry. I love that because I did enjoy the fact that these beings exist in a time in a totally different way.
Yeah.
And you can kind of understand why the dwarves are the way they are, because they live in a limited time frame and they live in the dark and, you know, they are probably a little bit closer to, you know, I don't know. Do dwarves live similar length to men?
A couple of hundred years.
Okay.
So I think, and look, chat, feel free to correct me because I'm probably wrong. It goes... Maia, elves, and then the Numenoreans, because they're descendants of the elves, then dwarves, then men. And then hobbits are around hobbits. The same time as, I think they're around about the same length as dwarves.
I was going to say, because if
there's also
though Bilbo lived to 111, which was a very unusual amount for a hobbit because
yes,
he had the ring.
Yeah, so men and hobbits roughly the same.
Oh, and ants, of
roughly,
course.
Yeah, and the ants and the eagles and the, but then you haven't even talked about the orcs or the wargs or the wargs or the other
and
things.
The goblins
and the goblins, or as Chastangelo said in the Durin's Bane. We've so seen Durin's Bane before, and we've met.
Remind
Durin
us what
now.
Durin's Bane is.
Durin's Bane is a Balrog.
Oh,
yes, and remember the Balrog.
Mm,
yeah.
Yes.
See, the dwells dug too deep.
Dug
and too deep. Because the Balrog was around at the time of Morgoth, and so Morgoth, great enemy, that whole thing. And the Balrog fled, and when the Balrog fled, it went into the tunnels beneath Khazad Dûm, and then it gets awakened by someone called Durin.
Now, which Durin is it? Durin the Third or Durin the Fourth? We don't know.
I don't know if we'll see him during the show, but eventually we'll get to that kind of thing. Hey!
I must admit, I really like Durin the Third, the older Durin. It took me ages to work out where I knew him from, and he's from Westworld, among many other things.
They did a Westworld, a Lord of the Rings Westworld?
Absolutely.
I want to go there.
I was watching him going, he's got Scottish. He is a Scottish actor, so his Scottish is not fucking around. But I was watching him and I thought, fuck, he's got a different thing to him. And then I went and looked up who the actor was and I went, oh, it's that guy. Yes. He's rather good. Yes.
Look, and now I'm just kind of nerding out by picking apart some sorts of things. Peter, what I want to know, what do you want to see out of Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power? You have to say it all at once. It's like Australian film and TV actor Jai Courtney.
Or as they call it, Lotterop.
Lotterop. I have zero expectations of Lotterop because I don't have a deep enough knowledge of the history of Middle Earth to really care what happens in this series. I will be pleasantly surprised by anything. Tell you what I didn't like, though, now that you mention it, the warg or wag or whatever we call it. Mm. That felt like dodgy CG.
I mean, it's kind of difficult. I'm kind of enjoying some of the little stylistic design choices, and I thought, true, absolutely the same. It looks terrible because it looks like it's not right. And that's kind of how they need to be. Because the wargs that we saw in the Two Towers look very wolf-like because, and this is set so much for before then, is that they're broken creatures and like it's kind of like a first iteration, like version one. These wargs are just kind of like on this, they're the warg final. And then you get warg final V2 and then warg final
warg really.final.final.
Yeah, yeah, really.final.final because they eventually are trying to breed them through. So I kind of like it if that's what they're going for, or they're just if
kind it, of look like I was watching an 80s movie for a second there. Like yeah. It looks like something that I'd expect to see in a Neverending Story.
Yeah. I just think it would make more sense if they were doing that kind of version one, if the orcs were kind of like that too, because the orcs in this one are kind of like, oh no, that's exactly from Lord of the Rings. They're just like orcs and okay, also well, kind of cool and ugly.
Help me out here. Are these orcs or goblins?
Orcs.
Right.
What's the difference between an orc and a goblin?
Sorry?
What's the difference between an orc and a goblin?
Well, goblins are smaller, if memory serves.
Goblins are smaller and more industrious and able to do tinkery things, and orcs are afraid of the sun. Goblins are technically afraid of the sun too, but like they're much smaller. Orcs are roughly the same size as men, which is why they can also take over, like they can take over the elves.
Right.
Kind of okay. Stuff.
Yeah. And as Tari says, I do like that the orcs are back to being practical effects. I love the amount of huge amount of makeup and armor that has been made for this show. Like, you know, that's incredible workmanship, all of it. But
it's, yeah. It's Great designs. Like I'm liking that kind of evil thing. And I also like how they're solving that problem of like, how do they go out in the sun? Or well, they don't, you know, if the sun comes out, they fucking hate it and they run away.
Mm. Yeah, I like that one. In one of them, they're like, oh, who's on outside duty or who's on sun duty today? I hate sun duty. It's fucked.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, there is another version of it. There's two versions of the orcs or whatever that is. It's corrupted elves or birth, but they're usually birth of the earth. So they're kind of created. But yeah, it's kind of, we don't know how elves reproduce really. I mean, because like all I'm saying at the moment is we haven't seen a lot of pregnant people in this show. And I'm waiting to see whether or not they want to go down that road. That round.
We have seen child elves, and I think maybe we're supposed to extrapolate from that.
Hmm.
I know, but you see, like, it's kind of like, you know, there's children in all of the sort of things, but it's kind of weird. Yeah,
I'm just looking at the orcs, and are we ever going to see any goblins? Because I'm also trying to remember. In Lord of the Rings, we did see goblins, or was that only in the Hobbit?
Yeah, goblins was in Fellowship of the Ring.
And were they the ones that climbed down in when they were in Khazad Dûm?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
They weren't orcs, they were goblins.
They were smaller, they had different armor.
Yeah, right. And there may have been orcs in there, because orcs are kind of like, goblins are the foot soldiers, orcs are the kind of, you know, standing army.
And the Uruk-hai are the big motherfuckers.
See, Uruk-hai are the ones that are bred between orc and man. That's why they were weird, because they could go out into the sun and they didn't have a fear of the sun like orcs did.
Yeah, right.
I do like that these orcs in this are presented as, you know, pale skin, pasty redhead like people.
Yeah.
who can't go out in the sun. How are we feeling with the elves as presented in this one? Like, I kind of like the fact that the elves are dicks. Like, apart from that, even to the other races, people are like, oh, fucking elves. Like,
it is fascinating that the elves are so hated, you know. I mean, especially in the Southland, where you can kind of understand it because they're the prison guards.
Yeah.
You know, and when the elf comes around, like when I was first watching that first episode, I was like, why are they so angry about it? He's essentially just, you know, the wandering cop. But then I went, oh, because he's essentially just the wandering cop.
Yeah.
Defund the police.
Yeah. Defund the elves.
I want to see a bunch of this. See, this is why, like, everyone's out there going, oh, why would you join Morgoth? He's the great enemy. I don't think so. I think Morgoth was just trying to get equality for all of the creations and perhaps create people of his own instead of, you know, just singing forever in the nothingness of the void. There's a long backstory. We don't need to go into that whole fucking piece of shit.
I'm so glad. Like, one thing I do want to pick on, I think it's episode two where Galadriel is on the boat and is about to get sucked up into the Undying Lands. And I do love that most people who are watching it were like, she's not going to fucking swim, is she? She swam.
She's just gonna swim.
This is dumb.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the real Gattaca moment for Galadriel. <right there. laughs> I've got to get out of here. I kind of liked the idea, the character of Galadriel that they're representing here, but you know, someone who's fought for a long, long time and then been told that she doesn't have to fight anymore, and is like, no, but there's still someone out there. That we've got to fight. It's just that the timeline is so weird, and the whole kind of idea that I don't know how it's going to get from where it is to where everyone knows.
Actually, one thing I did like about that is somebody, you know, being in their best conspiracy theory sort of ways, looked at that and went, so, you know, if you've had somebody out there whose sole purpose has been to go and hunt down the big enemy and stuff like that, and then come back and they go, we haven't found him yet. You know, what are the odds that it's somebody within the elves themselves who's like, oh, you've done a good job, and the best way that we could reward you is to remove you from the field of play entirely?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Your reward is to go to technically heaven, but yes, not actually heaven. You get to go and sing with God forever. I was like, cool.
Yeah,
it's kind of,
I don't know.
It's kind of weird. Like, I mean, I'm waiting to get into the really meaty stuff of like, how do they create, like, how does it get to the point where it, you know, Sauron needs to create basically an overwhelming army and it requires the last alliance of men and elves to go and fucking have a go. But this, see, this is a really interesting thing. And this is some of the stuff that I think is quite exciting and hopefully they're moving towards it. There is like an entire civilization like Numenor eventually built in the north called Region, where, you know, not Isildur, what's Isildur's dad? I've forgotten. Someone will find it for me. Who we've met, who's the captain of the ship that picks up Galadriel. Yeah. Like, he eventually goes into Middle Earth.
Elendil?
Elendil's the elf. Isildur's dad.
Yeah.
Who I've forgotten his name.
Yeah, I'm looking him up.
But Isildur and his brother end up going to south and founding Gondor, and his dad stays in the north and makes Eregion. And up in Eregion, it's got, you know, that is an entire civilization that is decimated by the time we get to the Lord of the Rings. Like, Sauron takes a fucking knife to it, or all those forces. So that is an interesting thing. Like, Gondor exists and still thrives, but the dad's kingdom just gets fucked on. And it's kind of like, how does this happen? Like, that's going to be an interesting thing to see. There's an entire fucking fortress way up in the north. You know, Galadriel was in the north earlier. Like, oh, there's nothing up here. It's just like stuff. Okay, that's kind of like, it sounds like it could be Angband, which is also an amazing place. There's lots of places.
You're letting your nerd out. I love that. You keep all this shit locked away, but now you're just letting it out little bit by little bit.
Oh, no, I love it. I'm being corrected. It's like, Eregion is on the, is what, Austin is still, I'm talking about Anor. I could be. Like, my pronunciation is quite bad. but also, I could be getting the wrong. But there's a whole thing up there of going, oh, there's a great kingdom up there that gets fucked on. And then everyone comes back and creates the Dead Marshes. Like, where did the Dead Marshes come from? Well, that was because thousands of people died in them. How are we going to rectify that? That should be fun.
I love that, you know, so anyone who played the Lord of the Rings action games that came out, 5-7 years ago, something like that, would remember one of the names and then, you know, be completely horrified by the way that it's portrayed here is Celebrimbor. So in that game, you were a ranger, if memory serves.
Oh, you're talking about Shadow of Mordor, like the Batman, like Lord of the Rings Batman.
Yeah, it was basically Lord of the Rings, Arkham Knight, where you would then go in and fight orcs and various different boss orcs. And if you lost or if you won, they would remember you and then develop, you would get a nemesis who would chase you down. And if memory serves, the lead character from that was a ranger of some description who then becomes possessed by the spirit of Celebrimbor. Celebrimbor is the dude who ends up forging a whole bunch of cool shit, as we are seeing that he is slowly building the forge.
Yeah.
And actually, I say slowly, by the episode 4, it's like mostly built and I'm like, fuck me, those dwarves move quick.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, if you'd seen him in the game, he looks like a cool badass elf. And in this one, he's like middle-aged dude with bad hair.
Yeah, look, I think, the Shadow of Mordor, or, you know, Shadow of War, whatever, the Middle-earth games are actually great. And I thought they did a great job of adapting some of that history into creating an exciting game. And I'm a bit sad that they're missing out on that now. But, hey. Peter's about to fall asleep, so...
That Druick is also saying that these games are where dead Celebrimbor made a second ring of power and Shelob was a hot lady, not a spider.
Look, it can happen. Like, people can shapeshift if they want. I'm not going to be all, like, you know, shitty about their gender pronouns.
You're not going to go after them for their pronies?
No, I'm not going after them for their pronies.
Right. Okay. Yes. Peter does look like she's about to fall asleep on her feet.
And we have been banging on for a little while. Like, I'm in for the show. Like, there are certain issues that I have with it, but I think I'll stick with it to see what's going on. And hopefully they clear up the timeline. Or if they don't, it'll be a garbage fire, which we can return to and be like, holy shit, what the fuck's going on in The Lord of the Rings?
I guess my question is, if they didn't clean up the timeline, would it be that offensive?
Ooh, no, I mean, you're either you're in or you're out at the moment. Or you, if you're trying to link them together, I feel like that kind of episode of... It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, where you've just got that wall of fucking things. How do we link everything together and make it work? But just enjoy it if you are. Like, you know, it's a lot less rapey than House of the Dragon, so that's good.
I do want to take one brief moment to say, in this, even though we've had four episodes where we've met a bunch of characters, I care about them and what's happening to them significantly more than I do anyone in House of the Dragon. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry, but, you know, rapey, incestuous Matt Smith, nah. Give me the weird hot elves in this any day, even if they are slightly racist.
Give me hot elf show.
Anyway. Right. I feel like we have hit the limit of what we can with this, and I know that Chess Angela is in the chat, would probably go for another 5 hours to talk about all of the other stuff.
Oh, no, but like as I said, I would love to be corrected by everyone in the chat who has way better understanding than I do. You're like, oh, Dion, you know a lot. I'm like, no, I don't. I'm real bad. Like, there are other people out there that know a lot more than I do. Like, you know.
It's fun.
But it's good to do. What are we doing next week?
Well, we're doing a Marvel movie, but it's not what you think.
But it's not what I think.
No, it is actually what you think. We are talking about She-Hulk, Attorney at Law. I don't know why I pronounced it that way. It just
attorney.
Came out that way.
Attorney.
Attorney at Law.
You're thinking about Attorney. But.
Which we thought was going to be finished by then because we thought it was a 6-episode series. Turns out it's a 9-episode series, but that's okay.
It doesn't matter. We can still talk about it. It's having a great time and, you know, it's fine. But what are we doing tomorrow? Or what are you doing tomorrow?
Probably staying at home because I'm sick.
All of us are fucking watching Andor, the first 3 episodes.
And Peter's face says, is she?
Yes, she absolutely is. And
I am 2 series behind in that franchise, so we'll see.
Which series are you behind?
I haven't watched Obi-Wan or Boba Fett yet.
Skip Boba Fett. You can skip Boba Fett.
Yeah, you can. That's what I've been told.
No, apparently there are like 2 or 3 episodes that I need to watch because it's just like Mandalorian.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The
last the last half of the season is just Mandalorian season 2.5. Yeah, it's very strange. Although someone did ask whether or not we were going to do a Friday first impression show for Andor, and I haven't decided yet. So let me have a look at the show on Wednesday, which would be great. And and everyone enjoy the public holiday on Thursday that has been given unto Australians because of the death of our Queen.
I was impressed.
Yay, colonialism.
I was kind of astonished that it was watched by 4 billion people. That is an inconceivable amount of people. And I do love that the one channel in the UK that wasn't screening the funeral was screening the Emoji Movie. Well done them.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
Thank God for options that aren't free-to-air television.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Quick shout-out to the ABC. Absolutely love your work. You've just been roiling it up forever. If you check the schedule, though, don't forget, at the end of the whole Queen funeral and everything, it just goes straight into Rage. So good luck programming that one, whoever programmed that one.
Nice.
Yeah, we'll come back, we'll do She-Hulk, and then it is October very soon, and we've put up a thing in the nerd thread for suggestions for shows, and there's a poll in there. Make sure you go on there and let us know what you're doing.
Yes, what you would like us to do.
Yeah, what you would like us to do, because I'll be changing it soon. Current front runners, let me just have a quick look. Hocus Pocus 2 is sitting there at 17%, as well as Black Adam and The Bear. And has anyone watched The Bear?
I have watched all of The Bear, and nobody will talk to me about it.
I will.
Dion?
Have you watched all of The Bear?
I've seen everything with ketamine Gene Wilder in it.
Wow. We need to have a conversation.
Yes. Yes. Well, you know, if we catch up soon this week, I will have that conversation with you. I will grin and bear it. Well, that's the last pun that I have for this evening. Thank you to everyone who joined us in the chat. Have a nice break. Have a nice break.
Yes, enjoy your long weekend. We will see you. Who else is on at the moment? We could. What do you want? Do you want to raid Steph or do you want to raid Barjo? I think they're both playing the same game, so it's essentially raiding the same thing. Yes, thank you. I will try and get well soon. I'm going to go and lie down now after this. But also, please send voicemails. If there's anything that you've seen that you want to talk to us about, we would love to play them. We do love getting your voicemails.
Sure.
So if you've got any money and you feel like throwing it at us, our Ko-fi is always available. Join us on Twitter. Join us on Facebook and Instagram. But also, remember, we have our multiple different nerd threads now. We have there, and many of them are very well attended. There's the nerd thread for everything else. There's the Marvel one. There is the Star Wars one. And there's the lesser attended DC one.
It's only because they don't have the content coming out. It's all fine.
Yeah. And Chastangela, yes, we do want your voicemails. That is what I'm saying. Send us your voicemails. We will play it. We may edit it.
Tell us what we got wrong on the Rings of Power podcast.
Yes. We do love your feedback. Right, let's go and raid Hex. I think that's what we will do.
Thank you all. You've all been wonderful.
Yes.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.